Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, we're going to have such a fun show here on this Freedom Friday. Of course, George Blackard in the house in the 8 o'clock hour. George, I was telling you just a couple of minutes ago, you know we're going to have a fun 9 o'clock hour of the show when a guy named Sparky is kicking off the show for us. Yeah,
absolutely. You're packing him in today.
We're packing him in today. Well, you know, with Rodeo Billings, you know, we were talking about the fair and all the rodeo action coming up in the Flathead with the Northwest Montana Fair. We talked about that earlier in the week. And then next week is when, you know, outdoor rodeo comes back to Billings, Montana for the first time in a long time. And so, but they've got a great lineup working the rodeo with them. But Sparky Dreesen with J Bar J Rodeo out of, I believe, Circle, Montana, one of the legends in the industry, is going to join us. Bob Tallman's going to join us. Becky Hillier is going to be with us here with David Allen from the Nile. And so that's going to be a ton of fun. We got some great folks that are going to be joining us next hour. But you actually brought in a special guest for Freedom Friday.
Yeah, I did. So recently I met Amanda and her husband. He's a former Marine, or, you know, as they say, always a Marine, right? So he's a Marine, and we started talking and started talking about what she does, and I was amazed at what she does. She works for Alternatives. And, you know, I think everybody has a stigma attached to it. And everybody thinks they know what it is, and they think it's one thing, but it is so much more. And so I invited her up to talk about it and tell us what they do.
Well, we'll get to her after the break, because, you know, this is kind of what we got a few minutes here as we quickly open up the show. But what stood out to you as you were talking with her and her husband about what she does with
the number of different programs and services that they do? Just, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. So it's really cool. She's going to tell us some of those different things and explain it to us.
Well, I'm excited to hear about it because, you know, recently I got to go to a veterans treatment court graduation.
Oh, yeah.
Judge Mary Jane Nisley invited me to come down to that. Supreme Court Chief Justice from the Montana Supreme Court, Corey Swanson, was the keynote speaker for that. And, you know, when I got to speak at one of those ceremonies several years ago, I saw a guy who was in the graduation who was in my, you know, military unit. And Chief Justice Corey Swanson, same thing. He saw a guy that was in his military unit. And so, look, we think about some of these men and women that get in trouble and don't know how to turn their lives around. That's why these programs like this are so important, and to address the recidivism that we see in our correction system, it's so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been to those graduations too, not as a participant, but as a observer, right? So that is a great program, and it's really an important thing, just like you say. And that gives people a second chance or a different opportunity that can really make a difference.
Or they hit rock bottom and now they're finally ready to turn their life around. Well, okay, what do you do? It's just like me with you know, Billings' last diet. Like, okay, you want to lose weight, you want to eat healthier. Well, I need a coach. We all sometimes need a coach, right? Because we might think we're doing the right thing, but in reality, it's like, oh, no, that's processed meat. You need real, ideal protein type of food and meat. In fact, by the way, while I'm talking about Billings' Last Diet, they've got a remote option. You don't even need to live in Billings to benefit from Billings' Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com, and we'll be back right after this.
It's August 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is International Cat Day, put together in 2002 by the International Fund for Animal Welfare to celebrate arguably the most popular pet on the planet. Also on this date, in 1974.
Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
The Watergate scandal forces President Nixon to announce that he would leave office. The first president to do so, he would step down the next day.
Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour.
Sonia Sotomayor is the first Hispanic justice to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court when she's sworn in 2009. NEF2 tornado touches down in Brooklyn, New York, the first in that New York City borough since 1889. And 99 years later, temperatures hit 88 degrees in the city on this date, 8888. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Everyone deserves that.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George, so jump in here at any moment, any time with questions or comments or whatever. But, yeah, George was telling us he was chatting with Amanda Rose, and he thought, you know what, you need to come join us on the radio. I think people would be fascinated to hear about everything you guys do. So, Amanda, what's your title and tell us about alternatives and just everything they do and everything you do and how you got into this whole line of work.
Yeah, so I'm the operations supervisor at the Alpha House. So I supervise, we call them the client advisors. So they're basically the security staff, the house side of the program. And I've been doing, in general, I've been doing corrections for about 26 years now. Started juvenile corrections in Minnesota, and then we moved to Montana about 14 years ago. I was a Montana State probation and parole officer for a little over 6 years, and I've been with Alpha House now for just 7 years in this capacity. So it's been a long time in the field.
Yeah, yeah. George, why don't you fire the first few volleys of questions here since you were able to chat with her a little bit?
Well, sure. So, you know, I think I, as well as a lot of people, think that it's just a pre-release place, that's all that it is, because I was kind of under that impression and I didn't really know, but you told me about all the programs that you have. So tell us a little bit about the pre-release part, but then tell us the other programs that you have.
Yeah, so we have two pre-release centers. The Alpha House houses our men's center, and then Passages is our female facility. So a lot of people think of the halfway house as guys just coming to get a job, save up money, and go back into the community. But we're actually a cognitive behavioral-based program. We do a lot of cognitive behavior work with the guys. We have the groups that they do the PFMA, so the partner family member assault victims groups. We have victim impact panel groups. They do anger management. They do cognitive skills groups. So it's definitely a lot more than just get a job and bounce back into the community. We have at Alpha House, we have almost 240 total residents. We have over 200 men in-house, and then we also have almost 30 guys who are on what's called transitional living or home confinement, depending on if they're Montana or federal resident. So they actually live in their own place. They check in with us, and we help monitor their programming, but they don't live in the facility. So there's quite a mix of those types of residents that we have at the men's center.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you have the women's center, too. How many people do you have over there?
Yeah, so at the women's center, we both have about 240, give or take, in our facility. The difference is at the female, at Passages, we have almost 100 are in that pre-release program, but then they also have almost 75 women on a treatment floor. So we have something called our PARC unit, which is a DUI-based treatment program, and then we also have our alcohol drug treatment program. So they're both inpatient residential programs that the women can do from, and they come from all over Montana. We also have an assessment center at Passages, so women from all over the state of Montana come to our assessment center to decide, are they going to go back to the community? Do they need treatment programming? Do they need a pre-release? From here, they might go to Bozeman or Butte or, you know, wherever they're coming from. So those women, some of them are going to the prison. So there's a lot of different dynamics in that program.
One thing, you know, that the state I know is trying to do more of is to offer more of these types of services in more locations around the state of Montana right now. I think there's a pre-release center that they're working on in Kalispell, mm-hmm. for example. You mentioned Butte. And so from a standpoint of what works, what doesn't work when it comes to, you know, trying to rehabilitate people or pre-release programs or, you know, what works and what doesn't work from that standpoint, especially as the state looks to have more of these types or other types of facilities around the state?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the corrections in general is ever evolving. You know, a lot of people think of it as a cookie cutter. This is just what you do. But we really stay on top of evidence-based programming. So we follow the trends. We do lots of research on what works, what doesn't work. So that's why that's a big part of our cognitive behavior program. So we do assessments. We stay on top of we have something called the MORA, so it's an assessment that we got from the, I think it's the University of Cincinnati, but they're in the top of the tier of the field of cognitive-based programming, and figuring out programs were ever evolving, the types of programs we do, so, all the different programs and all the different groups, all the different, it's looking at treatment, looking at we use something called motivational interviewing. And I think one of the things that's nice that we've evolved at Alpha and Passages, especially at Alpha, where we have our security staff, our client advisors, used to be just checking guys in and out, just making sure they're following the rules. And we've really worked with teaching just even our security staff motivational interviewing skills. So when something is happening with a resident, rather than just writing a disciplinary and letting a hearings officer deal with it 3 days later, we're teaching them how to use some of those cognitive tools in the moment. They do stuff called behavior chains or cost-benefit analysis, or we teach them tools like effective discipline, effective use of authority. So in the moment, even our security staff is able to stay on top of all the different techniques and trainings to address stuff in the moment to be more effective than just write a disciplinary, give them extra duty, and move on with your day.
And George, I like hearing in depth about what they do with their programs, because we had heard about some other programs and there was concern that some people were just being housed in some locations, like in the Billings Heights, and weren't being monitored, weren't being very controlled at all whatsoever. Programs like this, they have those controls in place. They have the monitoring in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the what she said about how to deal in the moment with those things rather than, you know, write them up, wait 3 days for something to happen. That's a real hands-on, proactive approach. That's great.
You know, George, the other thing that you and I have talked about over the years is, look, treatment is important, yes, but so is incarceration. Some people just need to be locked up. But now we are doing that. We're expanding jail capacity, expanding prison capacity across the state. But treatment still is very important. And I know especially you have a big heart for our veterans who either messed up and made a mistake or got into a bad situation. So we'll talk about that and more right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
Late blitz coming. Burrow finds his man, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to coast into the end zone. They beat the blitz with a quick throw from Joe Burrow, and the Bengals score once again in their second possession.
NFL preseason on WCAU. Joe Burrow played the first two offensive series for the Bengals against the Eagles and was nearly impeccable. 9 completions on 10 attempts for 123 yards and 2 touchdown passes. The Bengals did not win. The Eagles beat them 34-27. While quarterback Jalen Hurts did not play for the reigning Super Bowl champions, Tanner McGee started and threw for 252 yards with 2 touchdown passes and 1 TD run. On the second offensive series for the Colts last night against the Ravens, Indianapolis starting quarterback Anthony Richardson suffered a dislocated pinky when he got sacked. Richardson was replaced by Daniel Jones, who threw for 144 yards. The Ravens beat the Colts 24-16. Keaton Mitchell ran for 68 yards and a score for Baltimore. After the game, Anthony Richardson recalled the injury, saying, "I saw my finger in a different direction. I'm like, maybe I'm tripping. And I looked at it again." He said it was definitely like that. Richardson said the finger was swollen and tender, but he'll be okay. Longtime Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, back in Seattle last night, now is head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. The game finished in a tie, 23-23. The Raiders tried to win it on a 55-yard field goal attempt by Daniel Carlson on the final play of the game, but the kick got blocked. Former Seahawks QB Geno Smith made his debut with the Raiders, only played one series, completed one of three passes. WNBA, the Phoenix Mercury melted the Indiana Fever 95-60. Alyssa Thomas became the first player in WNBA history to record a triple-double in the third straight game. She had 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, George, you and I have always been heavy on law and order and more jail space, more prison capacity as well. And I truly believe that I think we as a state have had too much of an emphasis on treatment over incarceration. But I think it's also good for us to also, you never want the pendulum to swing too far in another direction either. So that's why I'm so glad that you brought our friend here today to talk about this, because treatment still is a fundamental part of the equation. And
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think, you know, you got to have a good balance. I think you need to do both. I think you can't be just one or the other, you know, let them all go, because we see how that works in California. And you can't just lock everybody up either, though. So, you know, I think it's important that we have these types of programs. So I had a question for you. What would you say? You know, a lot of people don't understand what you do. So what is one of the big misconceptions, or maybe a couple of misconceptions about your program or that you do?
Yeah, so I think there's two major misconceptions, and I'll talk about the first one, because it's as far as who we take in our center. So a lot of people will say things like, we just take all the criminals get dumped in Billings from all over because we have more resources. But we actually have a screening committee, so before anyone enters our program, we have a group of screening where we have a board member, we have a local law enforcement agent, representative from juvenile probation, probation and parole. So we actually look at the whole history of a person. We look at their risk levels, we look at their criminal history, recent behavior. So we actually have the ability to say, yes, we think we can help this person, or nope, we don't think that we are not going to bring this person into our community. So that is something for people to know, that we do not just import anyone into our program.
That's a great one.
We heavily scrutinize anyone.
I was going to say, because you were probation and parole before, right?
Yes, right.
So, George, when I think of probation and parole people, like, I think about, these are the people who know when somebody is feeding them a line of BS. You know, because I think a lot of people would be concerned that, okay, somebody's sitting here thinking, oh, I either go to prison or I go to jail, or I go make up some story like, okay, I'm a new man, I'm ready to get treatment, I found the Lord. And they're lying and they're full of BS. They're just trying to escape some jail or prison time, and then they want to go through this program and skate their way through it and go right back to doing what they were doing before. How do you identify that?
So I think a lot of times you can look at recent behaviors. They can write a letter that says, oh, this is why I want to be in your program, this is how good I'm going to do, but you look and they just got written up for an assault or introducing contraband, or, you know, we look at their history when they were on probation and parole in the community, look at the trends and behaviors they had there, and if they're continuing the same behaviors in whatever, if they're at START, which is a screening center, or at the prison, and they're not changing their behaviors at all, that's not someone we want to introduce into our community. But if we look at someone who, when they were on probation and parole, got in trouble, weren't doing well, but now we look and we see they've done programming in the centers, they have had no write-ups while they've been there. Sometimes they're, you know, working on an inmate worker status somewhere and they're doing a good job. Okay, maybe that's someone that is turning it around. That's someone that we think we can help.
You know, and it's so, hearing you talk about all this, it's obvious that you care about these people that you service and that go through your program. It reminds me of a quick story. So when I was a little younger, after I got out of the Navy, I worked at a house for chronic runaways. So they would come in. We couldn't stop them. If they wanted to leave, they could walk right out and they could leave. But I worked there for a while. I got to know a bunch of kids. And I transitioned from there to a lockup facility, privately church-run lockup facility. It was on the top floor of an old college dorm. And I remember there, and I would see these kids start coming in, the ones that I had at the other house. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Here we go again.
But I got really just so involved with them, and I really cared about all these kids. So this type of work is tough because you do see things like that.
And that actually kind of leads to our second misconception is, and you see it on Facebook or in the news releases where they say, oh, there's another escape at the pre-release. And I watch the comments, and I can't comment on them, obviously, but I see the comments that say things like, oh, another escape. What's wrong with the security staff? And, oh, they're just running away like crazy. And what people don't realize is we're not a lockdown center. When you see something that says an escape, you know, people visualize, you know, beating up staff and running through doors. And what it really is they went to work and they just didn't come back. You know, they went on a 4-hour pass somewhere, made a bad decision. Maybe they drank or used or got upset about something and they just didn't come back. And that's what most of our escapes are. It's not kind of what people visualize, you know. And these people, they're
that's
in the
really
community
good.
Every day. They're
that's
working.
Really good to share because, mm-hmm. yeah, there's always these things that the way they get reported, people make these false assumptions. Like, for example, whenever there's an officer-involved shooting mm-hmm. for a police officer or something, well, it's standard operating procedure that they go that they get placed on administrative leave, and it's standard operating procedure that there would then be an investigation to make sure the shooting was justified, et cetera. But it gets reported, officer placed on leave after shooting, investigation to follow, and all these people. It makes it look like there's this assumption that the officer did something wrong, when it's like, no, they almost every single time did the right thing, followed the right procedure. This is just a standard thing, but sometimes it's like, I wish everybody in the media was a little bit less sensational with the way they package some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
absolutely.
You get our readers that way, though.
Yeah,
so.
Click, 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 dollar. Yeah,
it's just like and I saw this week, you know, Army veteran does this, or yeah. military veteran does this.
I had the
this.
Same reaction 2 hours ago, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, God, they just sensationalize everything.
Well, it was like, okay, did the guy serve in the Army? Yeah, 20-some years ago.
Exactly.
For a little bit of time, not for a long amount of time, but the analogy I used earlier this morning is I was like, okay, if a guy who graduated from Montana State University 20 years ago went in and shot up a bar, would you report all week long of, well, that MSU alumni shoots up bar? No, but it's like, and I get it that there's different considerations. There might be mental health issues here. The guy might have been a pre-existing schizophrenic. So it's an angle that needs to be looked at eventually. But every story doesn't need to be like, Army veteran, Army veteran. You know, it's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just like it wouldn't be MSU alum.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you see the same thing just like that, I'm sure. So tell us a little bit about, because we kind of skipped over the most basic thing. So what happens when somebody comes there? What are they expected to do? What do they do while they're there?
Yeah, so we have state residents, and we also take in federal people, so they're coming out of the facilities. And, you know, you see some guys that come in literally with a garbage bag with a change of clothes and a folder with paperwork. So, you know, we've set up a huge donation room. So if you know, people have, like, clothing they don't want to use, we take in donations so we can give these guys something to wear because they literally have nothing. So they walk in, some with nothing, some with stuff. One of the first things we do is, you know, we do orientation groups with them. We set the expectations of what they are expected to do so that they know the rules. We do assessments on them to find out their risk and needs with their case managers so that we can individualize their programs. You know, several years ago, it used to be everyone did the same groups. They did the same programs. They had the same expectations. But like you were talking earlier, as far as like following trends and what works and what doesn't work, we know that doesn't work. So we're able to tailor their program based on what their needs are. You know, we do look at court orders, make sure they follow any court order restrictions for groups they have to do, plug them into the programming that is best for them. They have a whole week where they don't even leave the center. They just meet their groups and get their stuff set up, get their program going. Then they start to look for work. You know, they do have to get a job. They have to work a minimum of full-time hours, or some of them do go to school. They start saving money. A big goal is saving money. We teach them how to budget, so they have to do a budget each month. They get a debit card that they can use with their own money on it to kind of learn some skills.
So some of these people, they're so broken. It's a pre-existing brokenness that oftentimes get them in these situations, which, of course, is still no excuse mm-hmm. because there's people who come from rough backgrounds that still don't commit these types of crimes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, George, I wonder how tough they are on them and where rigor and, you know, kind of that toughness comes in. Because I was thinking if we didn't have this great guest in studio with us right now, I was going to talk about how Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, but I think this ties in, SecDef Pete Hegseth, the DOD wants to make basic great again. So they want to make basic training tough again. And they want to let these drill sergeants be the tough, hard-nosed drill sergeants they used to be. So I think it actually ties in with this, which is there a toughness angle to this as well? Your thoughts, George?
Well, I saw that article. You know, the sharks.
Shark circle, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and if people don't know, that's where multiple drill sergeants get around somebody and they just scream at them at the top of their lungs.
What's wrong with you? Why aren't you carrying those bags?
Yeah, exactly. They just yell at them. Yeah. Nuts. But I liked how you said, we're going to have knife hands again, you know. But, yeah, so I think that's important in that, and I'm glad you brought that up because maybe later we can talk about it. But, you know, I this whole thing, I know people that have gone through this program or a program like this one, and it's very difficult. Like when you talk about them getting a job, it can be really hard to find a job because with their background and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And I think that's a real testament to their character too, that they go out and they keep going and keep going and keep going until they do get this job that they're required to have. And, you know, facing those denials or, you know, no, we're not going to hire you, we're not going to hire you, you know, that tests a person's mettle right there, mm-hmm. just that part of the program.
Yeah, we have at both places, we have an employment placement specialist. So Passages has their own dedicated person. We at Alpha have our own dedicated person. And those ladies are amazing. Christina at Passages and Angela at Alpha. They work with our local employers. And there's a lot of amazing employers out there who work with us. They understand that the guys have groups. They understand that they have a criminal record. They understand kind of where they're coming from. But they also know that they're probably going to be very reliable employees because we monitor their hours. They cannot use while they're in our program. So that does help a lot. And if they do resume building with them, interview skills. So all that really, really helps with them getting a job.
All right. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Amanda Rose with the Alpha House and with Alternative. Great to see you here in studio. And George, thanks for bringing your friend in here. This was a nice Freedom Friday edition.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Quick break. We got another guest who's going to pop into the studio right after this as well. Stand by.
Hi, Mark.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got another great guest in studio right now. He just took his cowboy hat off, just put the headset on. He'll be with us here in just a minute or two. But, yeah, George, real big thank you to bringing Amanda Roos in the house. Yep. I was saying it wrong. I told her you could just reach across the table and smack me, you know. It would be the first time. I don't think that's ever happened before, but yeah. Amanda, I know, yeah, there was one other thing you wanted to share with our listeners, and so thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, just one final thought. I think a lot of people think about the staff that work there, kind of the correctional center in general, and they think the power and control, the inmates have to do with the CO stay because that's their job. And really, one of the things we really emphasize at our programs is we are a customer service program. So right from the interview standpoint, we make sure everyone that comes on board understands that as a staff member, you are customer service meets security. Absolutely, boundaries, safety is the number one priority, but we are here to help these men and women get back into the community, and you cannot do that unless you have a customer service mindset. And I think that's really important for the community to know that that's a big mission we have, is we are here to help. We are not just here to lock people up and and hope for the best. So,
well, thanks for all you do, first in probation and parole, and now what you're doing now. I mean, man, I would not have the patience to be able to do what you do. So it's mm-hmm. so incredible that we have people that have a passion for that. Mm-hmm. So thanks for all you do. And, George, yeah, thanks for bringing Amanda in. This is
great. It was a great find. I was glad she agreed to do it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, for sure. It was fun.
Yeah, tell your team thanks for letting you share your story as well here. Well, let's now switch tracks. You know, George, last Friday, actually, I was at the Governor's Cup in Columbia Falls, and we got to sit down with the fair manager for the Northwest Montana Fair, Sam Nunnally, who's also on the Kalispell City Council, and then Flathead County Commissioner Pam Holmquist. But really cool. You know, they got some new grandstands built up there. And so while I was talking with them, I was telling them how exciting it is that in a similar regard that outdoor rodeo is coming back to Billings, Montana as well. And they got their grandstands built up again as well. And just how symbolic that was, because a lot of people were very skeptical that once that piece of Americana gets torn down, it may never come back ever again. And it's coming back to the Northwest Montana Fair, and it's coming back to Montana Fair and Rodeo Billings.
Absolutely. You know, I drove on the way here this morning. I drove by and looked over at those new grandstands, and that's going to be great. I can't wait to go to that next week.
I keep wanting to call him Stoney LaRue, because there's this great singer, Stoney LaRue. He's got this song, When Your Feet Don't Touch the Ground, or something like that. But it's actually Stoney Field is the general manager for the Metro Park. And, of course, Montana Fair kicks off today, later today. So, Stoney, great to see you.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you very much for having me in here. And love to get an opportunity to promote what we have going on out at Metro Park. Yes, Montana Fair starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So, normally, we called it a sneak peek, and not everything was fully ready to go, but this year we've changed that up, made it to where all the rides are going to be there. We've got some significant changes. If you're driving by, you probably noticed a 110-foot Ferris wheel, which is almost double the size of the other one that's been there, and actually it's back again. It's right on that First Avenue intersection there, so you'll see it right as you get there, and then lights and rides and everything going on. So we had a little bit of weather last night that made it difficult for some final setups and maybe did a little damage on some tents, but everybody's, you know, buckling up and making sure that they're good to go for this afternoon.
Yeah, I got back from the gym and I saw this massive storm cloud, and then my wife and daughter wanted to go to the store and I was going to tag along with, and I was like, can we wait an hour? I want to see what happens. And thankfully I put the vehicles in the garage, and then tink, 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 the hail started popping. And Flow Rida tonight, I'm really excited. We got tickets for Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, hilarious comedian. So that's tomorrow night. But what about Rodeo Billings and outdoor rodeo coming back for the first time in a long time? And David Allen, of course, as promised, putting on, sounds like it's going to be an incredible show. You know, like when I was talking with Sam Nunnally from the Northwest Montana Fair in Kalispell about just the symbolism, like George talked about, of these grandstands being built once again, and how important that is, that that slice of Americana doesn't disappear.
Well, it's funny that you bring it up like that, because yesterday was actually my 2 years for being here at Metro Park, and initially, some of the biggest things that I got were folks coming up going, well, you never should have tore those grandstands down. And I said, well, you know, it was about 4 years before I got here, but either way, and so we're super excited. The commissioners really saw the vision that we were looking for and being able to get that. A lifelong rodeo guy myself, I have family in it, and it just doesn't feel right personally to have an indoor rodeo in the middle of summer. There's just something that just doesn't fit. So, just in having that, and you're right, the traditions and being able to bring back something that is standard. We've got a beautiful set of grandstands. All of the panels and everything are top tier. We've got some of the best facilities available. When you talk about David Allen, there's nobody in the industry that understands the rodeo business and the production of it. I mean, he's been in marketing and production his whole career, and it's funny because we spoke right before he took on his position at the Nile, and I said, You've been retired and fishing and doing things like that. Are you sure you want to take this on? And he's a gentleman that is as humble as anybody you'll ever meet for the amount of things that he's done and bringing in Sparky and Jay Barjay and Pickett Rodeo Company, as well as Bob Tallman. Bob and I go a long ways back. I used to work for him in the early 2000s. So it's exciting to be able to get that gentleman back in. He's somebody that once a microphone gets in front of his face, he locks everybody in the area right into him. So greatest announcer, I would say, probably in the history, in all honesty. And now we're going to tie that up with some fantastic stock. I mean, the entries were over capacity just because people wanted to come and actually get on the stock that they knew they could win some money. So I think we're in for a phenomenal situation next week.
Yeah, and George, what I thought was cool, too, last time I talked with David Allen, you know, he was Dale Earnhardt's right-hand man back in the day of the Dale Earnhardt NASCAR days. He was the head of marketing for Wrangler Jeans. And, yeah, like they say, he pulled him out of retirement to take over the Nile because he is so passionate about radio, so passionate about Montana rodeo, and so passionate about Montana that he wants to do big things. And I forgot where I was going to go with this here, but anyway, I was going to throw a question to you, George, and I totally spaced where I was going with it.
Well, that's all right.
I mentioned Dale Earnhardt. Now I'm thinking, Ricky Bobby, rubbing his raisin. That's all I can do. Some Days of Thunder quotes will start coming out here soon. Yeah, like, so easily distracted.
I think it's exciting that they moved this rodeo sooner. And like Becky Hillier was talking about that, you know, what this rodeo means now when it is in the rodeo season. So I'm really excited to get out there and see this because it's going to be a lot of fun. The weather, I think, is going to be really nice. You know, I do know when there's a good time for indoor rodeos in the summer. It doesn't even have to be the summer, but I went to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo this year. And when you go in that air-conditioned building,
I was going to say, if you're down south, indoor rodeo, please.
It's really nice. Oh, man, but it's going to be great here, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, the point I was going to make is that David Allen talked about how Baker is taking place around the same time, and it's great because it helps Baker, it helps Billings, it helps everybody in rodeo, in the industry, and in Montana, because now they can go make money and cash a check in Baker, and then they can come to Billings and cash a check in Billings, and so it works all around. You were in Colorado before. Colorado's getting crazy. Are they killing rodeo down there? Are they killing egg? Because, you know, they're throwing wolves out there and everything. I know that it's like anywhere. Rural America is still rural America, but it's got to be more challenging down there.
And as far as Colorado, I lived on the western slope. So if you imagine the state of Colorado split by the Continental Divide, those of us who are on the western side of it always considered Denver, and everywhere on the east side of the Continental Divide is just a bet that Kansas won. They didn't have to have it. As far as the western slope is a very conservative, rural agriculture type of an area. I mean, it's probably the prettiest part of Colorado in all reality. I mean, we have 14,000-foot peaks everywhere you look. But the state itself had changed a lot, and with the opportunity of coming up here, it wasn't too tough to be sold on the idea of going back. And I've told everyone that's asked me from there, well, what's it like? And I said, it's like where we came from 20 years ago. People are friendly. They're accepting. After COVID, there was a huge influx of folks from other states that came there and started doing remote work and ran all the house prices up. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. That's happened across our nation in some of the real pretty places that people want to live.
Yeah.
They haven't quite come for rodeo. The fair that I managed at the time was just a couple of weeks ago. They had record-breaking sales for the 4-H kids.
The resurgence in Western lifestyle is too powerful to hold back. Stoney, great to see you. Thanks so much for dropping in. We appreciate your time because we know you got a busy morning. So thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now you got Marxist Mamdani. You know, guy can't condemn global intifada. a guy that wants to put higher taxes in rich, whiter neighborhoods, tax people according to their race. This is a guy that wants to defund, dismantle the police. You got Jasmine Crockett. You've got Grandpa Bernie. You've got Pocahontas. They are the modern Democratic Party. Do you doubt that these people, if given power, that they would not try to pack the courts, the Supreme Court? Do you doubt that they would not act unilaterally to add Puerto Rico and D.C. and declare statehood for both of them so they could gain four Senate seats so that they can keep power in perpetuity?
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, if you're sending your child off to college this fall, make sure you give them more than a backpack and a laptop. You need to give them peace of mind. This world is a very dangerous place. Go to Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. It is the less lethal launcher, and it is the ultimate off-campus protection without the legal, financial, or emotional burden of using a firearm. I carry one every single day. I recommend anyone concerned about personal safety or the safety of their family, you need one as well. By the way, it's legal in all 50 states. They can ship it straight to your door. And don't forget, over 500 government agencies now are using this incredible technology because you can incapacitate any perpetrator for 30 to 40 minutes. Legal all 50 states, no background check required, and it fires those kinetic rounds. Just go to BYRNA.com, all hand assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna, BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Chris Young is gearing up for the release of his 10th studio album, I Didn't Come Here to Leave, dropping October 17th, and he just revealed the full track list. The 14-song project features 11 tracks co-written by Young. He recently released the title track, I Didn't Come Here to Leave, along with the lead single, Till the Last One Dies, with more new music on the way. Young has also announced his first ever holiday tour, It Must Be Christmas, an acoustic evening with Chris Young kicking off November 20th. Country music is finally getting its own spotlight at the MTV Video Music Awards for the first time since the show launched. In 1984, the VMAs will feature a Best Country category. Nominees were announced Tuesday, with six country videos competing for the new trophy, including Morgan Wallen for Smile and Lainey Wilson with 4x4 by You. The VMAs air on CBS September 7th. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, George, what do you think? You brought in a great guest. We had another great guest pop in. We only got a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. Should we take some of our fellow veterans down memory lane, or do you got something else you want to talk
about? No, let's go with that one. Yeah.
Let's go with it. All right, so Pete Hegseth says, we are going to make basic great again. We are going to make basic training tough again. Here he is.
Well, it's the basic stuff that anyone who went through any form of basic training for decades understood. Is as a recruit, you were going into a crucible. You were going to be forged. You were going to be challenged. You were going to be scared, nervous, and anxious. And by coming through that, you were going to be forged an American warrior. A shark attack is when drill sergeants surround one particular enlistee, right? Creating a stressful situation that they have to figure out how to manage. To bed tossing inside barracks after you've had a long day doing, you know, map out on the range or walk in patrol. This is basic stuff. This is not, you know, beyond what's been done. This is a restoration. So we're going to do two things really well.
All right, anyway, so that gives you a taste of what SecDef Hegseth had to say here. Brought back some memories for you, huh?
No, absolutely. You know, it always bothered me in the last few years how much it's changed. And, you know, one time somebody told me about red cards, and I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, if you get too stressed, you just hold this card up. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So that's great, and that's the way it should be. And we should be focused on being a lethal military that can go out and win wars.
Well, and somebody who's not familiar with that shark attack approach, they might watch and be like, oh, my goodness, what are they doing to these kids? Well, they're turning them into men. And into strong women.
that that have the mental toughness to where that doesn't bother them. Yeah. And they can and they know that they can face anything after stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember I was a leading fireman, so I was in charge of my platoon, I guess you would say, and we my company, that's what it was. And they did something wrong, and I had to go see the base command master chief.
Wow.
And I got a butt chewing from that guy. That after that, I said, never again will anybody chew my butt that good. So since then, if I got in trouble, yeah, it was nothing.
Because that's the best one. Get in here.
Oh, my God. I thought that guy.
You're probably running. I'll bet you'll run into that guy at like a VFW somewhere. And, you know, he's got about 40 more pounds on him. And he's really nice now, probably.
Oh, no. That guy's dead. I'm telling you. Because
he was angry.
He was an angry individual, you know. But it was crazy. And he made a believer out of me, though, you know. So I agree with this. I think it should be hard. It should be tough. And you know, one thing that I like about Pete Hegseth is we're getting out of all this DEI nonsense and all of that. And I think, you know, we got so preoccupied with letting everybody in and all of that, that, you know, it's good to see that we're getting back to tough training and lethality.
And the troops love it. Because they want to have that respect for themselves, and they want to have that respect for that uniform. And that's what all this woke BS over the last few years did. And then the targeting of patriotic troops for, you know, not getting the jab or for other stupid reasons. It eroded the respect for the institution, which is, I think, what their goal was really from the start. Frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. So, you know, it'll be good to see how this all plays out, and you know, it's that Pete Hegseth is doing a really good job, and I was excited when he got that job, and you know, he's done some great things.
Yeah. Well, George, thanks for joining us every Freedom Friday. Thanks for covering down on the show last week with John Jackson. I heard you guys had a great time on this Friday,
did.
Too.
Yeah. So, it was a good time.
It worked out well. All right. Have a great weekend, and we got a great show coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Sparky Dreesen, Bob Tallman, Becky Hilliard, David Allen, and much more. Plus a great caller on the phone lines right now that ties into this rodeo conversation.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.